This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff.
I grew up in Charlottesville, and right now I'm trying to make a living building furniture.
Well, excuse me, but I think you've got my chair.
Charlottesville's Val Matthews recently emailed me about Todd Leback. He makes, Val wrote, the most beautiful custom contemporary furniture. He has a workshop tucked away off Preston Avenue in Charlottesville, but he also exhibits at Sycamore Gallery. Well, that was enough to get me curious, so I took my microphone and visited Todd Leback at his place on Preston. Veneri Studios, it's called. Veneri, by the way, is Finnish for veneer. And what I found at Veneri Studios were pieces of beautiful, angular, blocky veneer furniture built by a young man who's quite charmingly unused to talking about himself.
I'm fairly introverted, so I'm not used to talking, especially working by myself, you know.
I was going to say, is that one of the pleasures of this, that you're here with your own company doing beautiful stuff?
Pretty much. I don't work well with others. Not to say that I don't like working with other people, but, you know, I do enjoy working by myself.
Just tell me about your furniture. I've been on the website. I've seen it. But how do you see it?
Most people, when they see it, describe it as mid-century modern. What I'm consciously trying to do is not be influenced by other styles, and I'm also trying to move away from some styles that are fairly common today, mostly like the reclaimed and the rustic look. I'm just trying to do something that's different. You know, if part of what I'm up against is finding people who want to spend a couple $1,000s on a table, it's got to be something that's unique. I can't make a living building Shaker furniture because there's, you know, Thorn and Company over in Waynesboro that can do it for a quarter of the price that I can. So what I've been trying to do is develop a style that is marketable as furniture, but also as a work of art. So I've been doing a lot of veneering, which is something that not many people in the area do. And I've been building more square, modular, large block-like pieces as opposed to very curvy bent wood pieces. So I think the combination of the veneering that I do with the more specific, very angular, block-like pieces sort of sets it apart from what you can purchase, you know, either off the shelf or from other local furniture makers.
Is that taste, too?
Some of it's taste. I'd gone to a boat building school, which, you know, everything we did there was curved. Now I find myself doing everything that's very square, straight lines, sharp corners, and things like that. And it's definitely a personal taste that has evolved.
When you started building furniture, first of all, how long ago did you build your first, you know, I'm not talking about shop class in the ninth grade. When did you build your first piece of furniture?
About a year and a half ago.
No kidding. And what made you try it?
I didn't have work. No, I mean, you know, it was a little crazy, you know, deciding to get into custom furniture in the middle of the Great Recession. And I did have work, but it was something that I'd been thinking about doing for years. I built furniture here and there over the years, but it was never anything that I consider very good. So about a year and a half ago, I decided that I would actually try and make a living doing furniture. So I started building pieces. Just I'd think of something and maybe do a drawing, maybe not, but just start building something, see how it turned out.
And did you have a client?
Not at first.
What was the first piece of furniture you sold?
It was a small sideboard that I'd built, and it was on display at a local store here, and somebody came in and they liked it and they bought it.
Do you market mainly through stores, or how do you, I mean, this is not the world's most accessible or visible place, so how do you market?
I'm still trying to figure that out. What I'm trying to do now is I'm starting to do some actual furniture shows. I've got one in Morristown, New Jersey, coming up in October. There's one in at the Philadelphia Museum of Art that I want to be part of in middle of November. And that's a fairly prestigious...
I was going to say, that's not one you just say, I'd like to show up, I'm betting.
No, I mean, it was a juried show, and I got in as an emerging artist. I think it's a little easier to get in, but it's some of the top furniture makers in the country. So I think there'll be about 10 of us. So it's a...
Emerging artists or furniture makers?
Just furniture makers. Okay. It'll be some good exposure. I think they have something like 20,000 people come by over the weekend, and these are people who are buying art as opposed to buying a functional piece.
What did it mean to you in terms of how you thought about yourself to get into the Philadelphia show?
My first thought was, I don't have anything good enough to take. So, you know, between now and then, I've got some designs I'd like to do, more like one-off pieces that are fairly unique, but I'm also going to take some production stuff up that I do. But it definitely helped, although honestly, I've reached the point now where I've won the other show I went to, I won a Best in Show award. And
what was the show?
The Baltimore Fine Furnishing Show. And, you know, the
Best in Show, period?
No, Best in Show for a new product design. You know, and the accolades and approval are very nice, but I'm getting to the point now where people need to start approving with their checkbooks.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. Makes the world go round.
About a design that you want to do for the Philadelphia Art Show, or do you have drawings of it or anything here?
It's still mostly conceptual, and that's how I do a lot of my pieces, is I'll think of some designs. Sometimes I'll draw it out full scale on a piece of cardboard, but a lot of times I just write down some measurements and start building and alter things as I go. But for some of the stuff in Philadelphia, I will be doing some very large sort of monolithic pieces, maybe incorporating some LED lighting, some touch doors and drawers. So it's very, no hardware, just very sleek.
Is there a finished piece of furniture here?
Yeah, it's, yes.
Yes? You sounded as though you weren't sure.
Well, this is the gallery space that I tend to have.
Oh, wow.
And it's all just a little cluttered. So these are all pieces that I've gotten here. Some of them are one-offs. This is a piece that I try and do on a semi-production basis, so I can make a number of them at a time to improve efficiency.
Does that mean you make sort of an assembly line sort of thing, where you make pieces of it and then put it together?
Yeah, you know, that way I can cut. If I'm doing 10, I can make certain cuts all at once, so I don't have to change my setup. And it doing glue-ups and things like that, it just makes it a lot more efficient. And this piece is actually designed so the legs are removable, so it can be shipped easily, or more easily.
Todd Liebeck says of his furniture, "I build solid, blocky pieces with distinct geometric shapes." If you go to the Spark page at WMRA.org, you'll see a photo of Todd in action, and also photos of a couple of his pieces. Among them is the one we're talking about. Todd described to me as a graceful, mid-century, modern, linear table with cherry legs and drawers, and a top and sides of Macassar ebony.
Well, it's, except the legs are solid, but everything else is actually veneered. So I typically use what's called MDF, medium density fiberboard. It's compressed sawdust, basically, but it's very stable, so it doesn't move. You know, movement is an issue. And I just build a box using the MDF and then veneer the faces in a successive manner. And what I can do is I can do it so that the veneer runs up a side over the top and then down another side. So when you're looking at a corner, the grain lines up and looks like it's continuing up around. You know, so that's basically the process, and then it's finished, sanded and finished with a clear finish.
Tell me, what is veneer?
It's just a very thin slice of wood. So what I'm trying to do is market it as a green alternative to solid wood pieces. A lot of people hear the term veneer and they think of cheap Walmart made made in China furniture. In reality, the Egyptians did veneering, and there's actually pieces of furniture that were recovered from tombs that are still intact. So what it enables me to do is I can get consistency from sheet to sheet. I can eliminate movement, so I can do basically any size, any dimension.
Eliminate movement in the piece?
In the piece. So as opposed to solid wood, which has seasonal movement, it's impossible to eliminate. You can only plan for the movement.
It expands and contracts.
It expands and contracts, yeah. Exactly. You know, depending on the width, it can be like a kitchen table can expand and contract up to a quarter inch seasonally, if not more. So, but what I'm doing with the tolerance is I work to the MDF and the thin veneer. It essentially won't move at all. So I can have very crisp corners. I can have details and methods of construction that wouldn't be possible with solid wood. But it's also a lot more efficient to cut up a log into veneers than to cut it up into solid wood, because I can get so many more pieces of veneer that are usable as opposed to, you know, cutting into 3/4 inch thick boards or something like that.
Do you cut your own veneer?
Some of it. Most of what I get, I order, though. It's typically 1/42 of an inch thick. And I can get, you know, a variety of domestic woods, exotic woods. In my mind, you know, especially when with dealing with the exotic, more rare species, the veneer is the way to go, both in terms of cost and also preserving a non-renewable resource in terms of the big, beautiful trees that are being cut down just aren't, you know, they're being wiped out.
Do you find resistance to the idea of veneer from people who want to drop a couple of grand on a table?
People who want to drop a couple of grand on a table, no. It's more the people who...
They know what?
People who want to spend that kind of money on a table are typically fairly knowledgeable about furniture.
Is your ultimate goal to be represented in, like, an art gallery in New York?
That would be nice.
Yeah. Is it practical?
Sure. I mean, maybe not now. I'm probably about 2 or 3 years away from that, technically. But it's... I mean, I hate to say it, but New York's where the money is, you know. And people who shop in art galleries are the people who can afford it. So, yes.
Do you ever second guess yourself about spending days and days and weeks and months doing this?
I was last year, but I found that if you second guess yourself, you're not going to get anything done. You know, and it's the same whether I'm second guessing myself with a cut or whether I'm second-guessing myself, you know, is this what I want to be doing with the rest of my life? You just kind of have to go ahead and do it. And actually, that's probably one of the biggest lessons I learned in boat school from the professors was how to solve problems and how to go about doing things like that. And it's just they wouldn't hesitate to, if they couldn't get something done, they would make a tool to do it. You know, there was no hemming and hawing. It was just, here's a problem. How do we solve it? You know, let's go ahead and do it. And I try to apply that to the work that I do, but you know, I wouldn't be, if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be doing this.
Days, precious days, they roll in and out like waves. I got boards to bend, and I got planks to nail, I got charts to make, and I got seas to sail. I'm gonna build me a boat.
And again, if you have again to see a picture of Todd in action or of his furniture, they're on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Back after a break with masterful historic gardener Peggy Cornett.